This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A lessening threat from Tehran. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka. It is Wednesday, May 22nd. Thanks for joining us. Here's what's up this hour.
Trump administration officials say their military deployments to the Middle East have toned down the hostilities from Iran.
Dozens more tornadoes, but moderate damage. A sigh of relief for many as an unusually extreme weather system hit Texas and Oklahoma.
House Democrats have issued subpoenas to two more former Trump aides after the Judiciary Committee held a hearing with an empty chair.
Coca-Cola seems to be willing to risk some public mockery by reintroducing New Coke as part of a promotional campaign.
They're actually bringing back New Coke. Even though it was one of their biggest failures, they now are trying to use it as a marketing tool. They're bringing it back for a limited time in a cross-promotion with the Netflix sci-fi series, Stranger Things.
Wall Street Journal reporter Jennifer Maloney on the return of New Coke. She's here in about 20 minutes. The Trump administration says after U.S. military deployments, the threat of hostilities with Iran has receded. The message to lawmakers during classified briefings yesterday was that a war wasn't imminent. The briefings were the first for all members of Congress since the Trump administration deployed warships and bombers to the region. Some lawmakers left yesterday's meetings saying they had been given conflicting information about the nature of the threat. Washington Congressman Adam Smith, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, says he would hesitate to say it's de-escalated at this point.
They're still active in Syria, they're still active with Hezbollah, they're still providing rockets and missiles to Hezbollah and Hamas, they're still supporting the Houthis in Yemen, they obviously have propped up Assad in Syria. So what our maximum pressure campaign has done in terms of achieving our objectives, I have not seen.
Acting Defense Secretary Pat Shanahan, one of the officials who briefed lawmakers, said the prospect of an Iranian attack on Americans has been, quote, put on hold. Chairman of a House committee that subpoenaed two more former White House aides just hours after former White House counsel Don McGahn was a no-show for testimony. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler yesterday announced he had issued fresh subpoenas to Hope Hicks, the former White House communications director, and to Annie Donaldson, Mr. McGahn's former chief of staff. Despite Mr. McGahn's absence yesterday, Mr. Nadler held a hearing lasting about a half hour with an empty chair at the witness table.
Let me be clear. This committee will hear Mr. McGahn's testimony, even if we have to go to court to secure it.
Republican committee member Doug Collins of Georgia.
The chairman orchestrated today's confrontation when he could have avoided it because he's more interested in the fight than fact-finding.
Lawmakers also negotiated for future testimony by special counsel Robert Mueller on his Russia investigation and debated whether to move forward with impeachment proceedings against President Trump. The word fortunate is being used to describe parts of the Texas Panhandle and Oklahoma after an unusually dangerous storm system produced dozens of tornadoes with limited damage. In Lubbock, Texas, torrential rain and hail the size of baseballs were part of a weather system the past 2 days that brought down trees and caused brief flooding. Flooding was more extensive in Richland, Oklahoma, northwest of Oklahoma City, where firefighters rescued several people from homes by boat and high-water vehicles. 120 miles northeast of there, in Tulsa, Mayor G.T. Bynum said tornadoes turned out to be less of a threat than flooding.
It's incumbent upon every Tulsan, that when you're thinking about protecting yourself, your property, your family, to remain aware of your surroundings.
National Weather Service officials yesterday were calculating the exact number of tornadoes, even as rain continued to fall and storms moved into Arkansas, Missouri, and Illinois. Missouri Governor Mike Parson declared a state of emergency. It's 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
all of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Attention, special Memorial Day announcement ahead. Dell's official Memorial Day event is back and it's better than ever. You're getting up to $300 off select Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy awesome deals on the latest electronics and accessories like Bose headphones. And remember, free shipping on absolutely everything. Get some of the best deals of the year now, courtesy of Dell. Call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800-BUY-DELL. Or go to Dell.com/Memorial Day.
Thanks for being with us. The Democratic Party is running some 24 candidates for the right to challenge President Trump. Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal, says, make no mistake, the sheer size of the Democratic field is detrimental to the party's long-term health. He says it prevents talented but lesser-known contenders from getting the necessary attention to build momentum for their candidacy. Josh, this benefits Joe Biden.
This is Joe Biden's moment, right? I mean, in 2016, he may have had a chance to defeat Hillary Clinton, but in a smaller field, his vulnerabilities would have come to the fore. I mean, the things we talk about his propensity for gaffes and the fact that he's older, he's a man, white man against running against, you know, someone like Hillary Clinton. Those would have been major vulnerabilities. It would have been hard to see Joe Biden winning the nomination. But in 2020, he's the best-known figure. He's a brand name in a field of lesser-known candidates. And the gaffes that we dwell on also don't look nearly as significant as compared to President Trump and the daily controversies he stirs up. So, you know, this is Joe Biden's moment. He's not only the best-known candidate and has a lot of goodwill within the Democratic Party, but the environment for 2020 is shaping up to be as advantageous as it's ever been for him.
You wrote that for all the hype the upcoming debates will receive, it's likely that they won't make a major difference in the race, at least not initially. How come?
You're going to have 10 people on the stage for two different nights. So there's no guarantee that if you're one of Joe Biden's leading rivals, if you're Kamala Harris, if you're Bernie Sanders, it's possible you may be on the other debate stage the next night and you won't be able to have the opportunity to challenge the front runner. So that only benefits the people in the lead if you're not going to have the opportunity to take them on directly. Furthermore, you know, it's going to be hard for anyone to get a whole lot of speaking time. You've got 10 candidates on the stage. You've got, what, an hour and a half, 2 hours at most of debate time. I mean, you split it up, you're only getting about 5 or 6 minutes of speaking time. You got to make the most of that opportunity, and we saw with Scott Walker, for example, you know, really credentialed candidate for the Republicans in 2016. He had to drop out just because he wasn't getting any traction in these debates. He wasn't able to get a lot of attention given that the Republican field was so large. Democrats have an even larger field. It's going to be harder for any one candidate to break through when you have such a well-known candidate like Joe Biden and also Bernie Sanders.
We're speaking with Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. And he's written a piece entitled, Why the Crowded Primary Field Boosts Biden. With regards to these debates, if you are one of these lesser-known candidates or polling perhaps in the single digits or low single digits, does it make sense in these only handful of minutes you might get on stage in front of a national TV audience to bash Mr. Biden? Or do you try to talk about your own platform?
So here's the catch, 22. It would help take down Biden if any one candidate goes after him. But it also hurts your own campaign. And we see this all the time, and not just presidential campaigns, but in, you know, a primary where you have three or four candidates and one person goes on the attack, and it turns out the person they attack loses, they lose, and a third candidate ends up benefiting and wins the race. In a 20-some candidate field, the person going on the attack doesn't do themselves any good because people don't like candidates going hard negative. It doesn't play well for your image. You only do it out of necessity. So we saw this in 2016. No Republican wanted to go after Donald Trump because they didn't want Donald Trump to go after them. They didn't want to have their own image being defined by the presidential candidate. It's going to be similar in 2020. I don't think someone who's trying to build up a positive image is going to want to go negative early. They're going to try to build up their own positives, build up their own brand before they want to go on the attack. I mean, it's only effective when you go on the attack when the field narrows down to four or five candidates. Then it makes a lot more strategic sense. But when you have 23 candidates, when you go on the attack, you're probably helping your rivals more.
Think there might be an effort by one of the major political parties to narrow the field before we get to this point? Because obviously Republicans struggled with this a little bit in 2016, and now Democrats are now. I don't know if there's a fair way to do that.
No, I mean, the parties are as weak as they've ever been. So the institutions that used to be the gatekeepers of who could run, who was seen favorably by the party establishment, we saw that how that was out the window with the Republicans in 2016, and now Democrats are experiencing their own deja vu. When you can't control the process, a lot of unexpected things happen.
Thanks, Josh. Josh Kraushaar, politics editor at National Journal. Meanwhile, new polling from Quinnipiac University finds Joe Biden has the highest favorability ratings, with 49% having a favorable opinion of him. At the other end, Bill de Blasio has just 8% favorability. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Court in a House committee chairman has subpoenaed two more former White House aides, including Hope Hicks, just hours after former White House counsel Don McGahn was a no-show yesterday for testimony before the panel at President Trump's request. As tensions rise between the president and the Democrats who control the House, lawmakers also negotiated for a future testimony by special counsel Robert Mueller on his Russia investigation. Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler.
We will hold this president accountable, one way or the other.
Nadler issued fresh subpoenas to Hicks, the former White House communications director, and to Annie Donaldson, McGahn's former chief of staff. Meanwhile, more Democrats are calling for impeachment proceedings against President Trump after he blocked McGahn from testifying. Democratic Congresswoman Karen Bass of California.
The president said that the report completely exonerated him. So if that was the case, then why wouldn't he want, number one, the unredacted report released, and number two, all of the people that were involved to come and testify.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will meet with fellow Democrats today to discuss next steps. Prime Minister Theresa May's final Brexit gambit is in tatters just hours after her offer of a vote on a second referendum and a closer trading arrangement failed to win over either opposition lawmakers or many in her own party. May is trying one last time to get her divorce deal approved by the British Parliament before her premiership ends, but it's unclear how, when, or even if Britain will leave the EU. An unusually dangerous storm system produced dozens of tornadoes that were either seen or spotted on radar across the Texas Panhandle in Oklahoma. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt.
Really, it's just widespread damage across our entire state. We're grateful that not one life was lost. We had about 11 injuries.
Torrential rain and hail also hit parts of Texas. The worst team in the NHL a few days into the new year has completed an astounding turnaround as the St. Louis Blues advanced to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 1970. The Blues, which sat dead last on January 3rd, dispatched the San Jose Sharks in a six-game Western Conference Final, capped by a 5-1 home ice victory last night. The Blues will meet the Boston Bruins in the championship round.
Wow, I'm a fair weather hockey fan. If the Devils are doing well, I might pay attention in May. Right, so it's been a while. I did not realize that the Blues had come from those depths in January. Wow. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Coca-Cola is using one of its biggest failures as a marketing tool, bringing back New Coke for a limited time in a cross-promotion with the Netflix sci-fi horror series Stranger Things. Season 3 of the program begins July 4th. More on the new Coke marketing from Jennifer Maloney, beverage reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Jennifer set this up.
So if you haven't seen Stranger Things, it's set in the 1980s. Some middle school kids are fighting monsters that appear in their neighborhood from an alternate dimension called the Upside Down. And the season 3 of Stranger Things is set in 1985, and that's when New Coke was launched. So it will appear on the show, just as regular Coke has appeared in the first two seasons. New Coke will make several appearances in season 3, and in a sort of a collaborative effort, Coke will be releasing retro-designed cans containing the 1985 recipe of New Coke in very limited distribution on its Coke merchandise website, CokeStore.com. And if you go to the World of Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta the week of June 3rd, you can get your hands on one. There will also be a special vending machine, an upside-down vending machine that will appear in various cities starting in New York on May 23rd.
So it's sort of light promotion of the product, not a full-on campaign, I guess.
They're not selling it in retail stores. They've only made a little under 500,000 cans, and when they sell out, it'll be gone.
Okay. And then, I guess in some ways, is Coca-Cola poking fun of itself here or not really?
Yeah, I think that they're able to look back and smile at it now, all these years later. It probably took a while for them to get to this point. It was truly one of their biggest failures, and it had a lasting impact on the company. It deepened a culture of caution, a fear of failure, a risk aversion that sort of continued on until quite recently. It really wasn't until the current chief executive, James Quincy, took over in 2017 that he said, look, we have to change our culture. We have to shake off this fear of failure, take more risks. And in February, Coke actually introduced its first new flavor of Coke in more than a decade. You may have heard about orange vanilla Coke. So that's kind of a sign that they're trying to shake things up and try new things and not be quite as risk-averse.
I forgot, too. You reminded me reading in your story that Bill Cosby at one time was the new Coke pitch man, right? No references to that, I presume.
That is right. He was the pitch man for new Coke. In fact, if you Google it, you can find YouTube videos of him pitching new Coke in 1985. No, stranger, Netflix tells us that we will not be seeing any throwback Bill Cosby commercials from 1985 on the show.
Thanks, Jennifer. Jennifer Maloney, beverage reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. In today's age, it can be hard to find the time to sit down and learn more. It's not easy when social media can be so addictive, right? So you may think you don't have the time to read a book or develop yourself. If that's the case, there's an app I highly recommend. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is the only app that identifies the key takeaways, the need-to-know info from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them into about 15 minutes so you can read or listen. I like Blinkist because it has a massive and growing library from self-help and business to health and history books. I can indulge in the topics I want without having to read the entire book. When time is hard to find, find Blinkist. Perfect for your commute. Always wanted the skinny on The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People? Blinkist is for you. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. Blinkist.com/morning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, May 22nd. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. House Democrats meet again today to discuss impeaching President Trump. Speaker Nancy Pelosi remains skeptical of the strategy. Defense officials say threats from Iran have receded. Trump lawyers in court today to fight to keep his bank records from Congress. ABC tonight recreates All in the Family and The Jeffersons on live TV. And the Batmobile chasing a hit-and-run driver in suburban D.C. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Very special announcement ahead. Get up to $300 off select Dell and Alienware computers with Intel Core processors. Call 800-BUY-DELL or go to dell.com/Memorial Day. The NBA Eastern Conference Finals are tied at 2 after Toronto dumped Milwaukee last night, 120-102, Game 5 tomorrow, back in Milwaukee. But the question right now is not who will win that series, but whether either of those teams can beat the Western Conference champion Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. Analysis from Mitch Albom, co-host of the Sports Reporters podcast from Compass Media Networks. Mitch, Warriors seem hungry like they're pursuing their first title, not their third in a row.
You know, it's not the same group that won last year. I mean, you don't have Kevin Durant out there. And I think the Warriors have been a fascinating exercise in duality in terms of, like, dual identities for their team. They're one team with Kevin Durant where they can rely on 35 to 40 points on any given night from him just by dumping the ball in. And they're a totally different team without him, in which they rely on that sort of Harlem Globetrotters weave to get guys open for shots, and of course they're led by Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. That's the way they played before he got there. So it's amazing that you can have sort of two completely different identities on the single team. But what you're calling, I don't know, urgency or whatever, I think is them just reverting back to the way they played before Kevin Durant, which, by the way, they won a championship with.
Not to heap greatness on them, but is that a sign of how good they are that they can make really what was a mid-playoff adjustment to lose an all-star and keep rolling? Or is it not a fair comparison because they've got, what, six current or former all-stars on that roster?
Well, I think that's you're actually saying the same thing in either direction. Yeah, it's a nod to the depth of talent on that team that you can lose a player like Kevin Durant and they can slide into, you know, a team that still looks like they got more superstars than you can ever dream of having. But they do. I mean, you know, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green, especially now, and I think Draymond Green, even more than Steph Curry, has been able to expand his game with Kevin Durant out, because the things that you ask a Draymond Green to do, rebound, toughness, keep balls alive, second shots, things like that, not necessary as much with Kevin Durant. You dump the ball to Kevin Durant, he backs in, he turns around and hits an impossible shot over a guy. What's a Draymond Green really supposed to be doing? And so you can sort of, you know, fall out of your rhythm. But in the high pace, move the ball around, look for three-point shots that they do without Kevin Durant there, he's a much more integral part. So I have to count him as a, I don't know, superstar is the word, but certainly a star. So they already are deeper without Kevin Durant than most teams. I think they're also, Gordon, very well coached. And to be able to shift to that kind of style of play shows that a coach who knows what he's doing.
That's impressive. We're speaking with Mitch Albom, co-host of the Sports Reporters podcast from Compass Media. You referenced Draymond Green. Is this Draymond Green 2.0? Like, who is this guy right now?
Actually, it's Draymond Green 0.50, because I saw him play this way in college here in Michigan State. And right. That's exactly how he used to play, with energy, with fire, with muscle, with surprising agility for a guy who's as big and thick as he is.
Do the Bucks or Raptors have a shot at the Warriors?
I don't think so. Yeah. No. I think what you're seeing with both of these teams is the growing pains of being at this level. You know, for both of them, this is new, at least this incarnation of them. And I think whoever comes out of this battle, and I'd like to see it be a battle, because I think both of them will benefit from being tested in a seven-game series for next year. Whoever wins will advance, obviously, and get some experience in the finals, and whoever doesn't will know what it's like to almost get there and will come back that much hungrier. But against the Warriors, I think there will be a lot of that, wow, we're in the finals. Hey, we're in the finals. What was that?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the Golden State Warriors taking four games from you. So, you know, I mean, they just did it to a very good Portland team. And I think you heard from the Portland players, there was a lot of that, well, you know, we've never been to this level. No one expected us to get to this level. I think you're going to hear that same kind of stuff from whoever gets there from the East to the finals.
Thanks, Mitch. Mitch Albom, co-host of the Sports Reporters podcast from Compass Media. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could spend some time with us on this Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, maybe the offseason, but J.J. Watt is still pumping up his reputation as one of the good guy stars of the NFL. A Houston area teacher tweeted at the Texans lineman yesterday to let him know that one of her students had picked Watt as a celebrity endorser for a fake product called Energy Chips, part of a lesson on the creation and marketing of products. The tweet included artwork of the energy chips bag, which included claims like 50% less sugar, and a bag of energy chips gives you the energy you need all day. Seeing this, Watt immediately sprang into action and filmed his own commercial for energy chips, which he then posted to Twitter for his 5.5 million followers to see.
I'm JJ Watt for the Houston Texans. When I'm feeling like I'm lacking a little energy, I grab a bag of energy chips. With 50% less sugar, they're nutritious, and only one bag a day gives you all the energy you need for the whole day. They keep me hype. Wow, and they're delicious.
The teacher thanked Watt and hinted that the student might get a better grade on the project thanks to Watt's help.
Yeah, that's right? Awesome.
I mean, that turnaround, awesome. That was quick. I think the tweet at Watt, you know, was like, I think it was 12:45, and like an hour later or something.
Oh,
you know,
is that right?
He had that video. Wow. You know, with even holding a bag that had sort of had energy chips kind of drawn on it, like a little bit of artwork had been done there in the locker room. So good for him.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
you're right. He's definitely one of the good guys.
Now, on the opposite side of the humanity spectrum, Gordon, a death threat over pepperoni, or lack thereof. A Pizza Hut customer in Ohio was arrested after allegedly threatening the manager of his local shop over the lack of pepperoni on his pie. Late at night on May 9th, officers with the Cleveland Heights Police Department responded to a call of an angry customer who came to the restaurant after his pizza, which he ordered online, arrived without his requested topping. According to the police report, the man said he wanted to come around the counter and kill the manager over the pizza incident, and at one point even flashed a gun. Police were able to track the suspect using the address he listed on his online order, as well as security footage taken at the scene.
Yikes.
Yes.
I'm a little sensitive to these pizza stories now, only because my son works for Domino's.
Oh, boy.
So I'm gonna be mindful of, like,
yes,
crazy customers.
Right,
stuff like
right.
That.
And, of course, remind him to always make sure you put the pepperoni,
put the pepperoni
on the pizza. I have to say, when I walk into a pizza shop, this happens once in a while, and, you know, they have to have at least two types of slices. You got to have at least your plain and your pepperoni at the very least. I don't even need crazy fancy slices, but if there's no pepperoni pizza, I mean, I might be a little perturbed, but I'm certainly not going to go to these levels.
Well, it also speaks to the credibility of the joint you just walked into.
Right.
Are you showing a pepperoni slice?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, is this part of, you know, part of your goods here or not?
What sort of operation are you running
that
there's no pepperoni pizza available for purchase?
And by the way, just sprinkling it on top, like after the pizza is cooked.
Yeah.
No. You got to bake it in. It's got to be really stuck to the cheese.
Right. Yes. Even my 7-year-old son noticed when they did that once.
Really?
They didn't have it on hand. They
cheaped
said
it out.
Yeah. They said they kind of told me on the side, well, we can put some on top of the plain slice. And I said, okay, well, sure. He's not going to notice, right?
Yeah,
put it in front of him. He said, oh, this is different, Dad.
Right.
There's something amiss here.
Right. And immediately therapy sessions began.
Yes.
The pepperoni scarring. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
This human resources professional is crushing it, thanks to Kronos. And this is his hype song.
You can fall back with the pack. I'm a leader pack.
I've got HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm on the top, I'm gonna rise up. Now we are
engaging all the best people.
Blast off to the front of the field. This is
Kronos. HR solutions for the modern workforce. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. Are you planning to fly to your summer vacation destination? Well, prepare for crowds. A record 257.4 million passengers are expected to travel on U.S. airlines this summer, according to a new report from a trade organization. That's up 3.4% from last summer, which was the record at the time. MarketWatch says this year is set to be the 10th consecutive year in which the number of airline passengers over the summer will increase from the previous year, attracting them, increased competition, and low fares. Recent data from the U.S. Bureau of Transportation Statistics show that the 2018 average domestic airfare was $350, the lowest inflation-adjusted annual fare since the agency began collecting these records in 1995. Domestic fares were down 15.9% from 2014. New tools are making it easier for passengers to map out the cheapest flights possible, as you know. However, seats are getting smaller to accommodate more passengers on each plane, and airlines are getting better about ensuring that flights are as full as possible.
8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the Trump administration, says the threat of hostilities with Iran has receded following U.S. military deployments. Lawmakers were briefed yesterday by members of the administration who, two weeks after they declared a threat of an imminent Iranian attack and deployed warships and bombers to the region, Acting Secretary of Defense Patrick Shanahan.
That intelligence is borne out in attacks, and I would say it's also deterred attacks. We have deterred attacks based on our reposturing of assets, deterred attacks against American forces.
Well, some lawmakers have been briefed on the situation. Many have complained that they had been left in the dark, and several left yesterday's session saying they had been given conflicting information. Abortion rights activists are taking to the streets across the country to protest the recent wave of restrictive state laws. Demonstrators yesterday marched, chanted slogans, and waved signs in Atlanta, St. Louis, New York, and Charlotte, among other cities. West Hollywood Councilmember Lauren Maester joined a rally in California.
They are doing so under the guise of being pro-life, but the reality is it's not about saving lives. This is about controlling the lives of women by taking away women's right to choose.
In Washington, hundreds of abortion rights advocates, including some Democrats running for the presidential nomination, massed in front of the Supreme Court. They included candidates Kirsten Gillibrand, Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, and Pete Buttigieg. A powerful spring storm unleashed a mix of drenching rain, flash flooding, and hail in the central part of the country, along with more than 130 reports of tornadoes in 5 days. About 28 million people are under the threat of severe weather today, mostly in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, and Ohio. Some of Lionsgate's most popular film franchises, from Hunger Games to Twilight, will be brought to life when the studio opens what it calls the world's first vertical theme park in China this summer. Lionsgate Entertainment World will offer several adventures, including a virtual reality motorcycle ride based on Twilight, a maximum security prison breakout like in Escape Plan, and a replica of the Capitol lobby from Hunger Games, complete with shops where guests can buy the film's distinctive costumes. More than 25 rides and virtual reality experiences will pack a futuristic-looking bean-shaped building that stands 10 stories high.
Whoa, vertical.
Yeah.
Yikes. All right. Thank you, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning, America's First News. Forgive some in the suburbs of Maryland if they thought a movie was being filmed. It appeared there was a new crime fighter on the streets after a man who happens to drive a custom-built 1966 Batmobile replica ended up fighting for justice by tracking down a person involved in a hit-and-run. Bill Gibson told the local Fox TV affiliate he was traveling on Route 28 in Silver Spring when another motorist ran into him. His car is tricked out with a bat phone, rocket launchers that have actual flames, and a projector that shows a bat symbol on the road at night. Mr. Gibson said he was stunned when he pulled over and the other driver sped up and took off. He called 911 and began chasing. The two eventually pulled into a church parking lot. Mr. Gibson says the driver of the other vehicle tried to offer him money, which he didn't accept. The man eventually handed over his info and was not charged. Mr. Gibson said the cost of repairing his vehicle may run more than $7,000. His Batmobile, by the way, is worth about $175,000. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.